All right, welcome back, everybody. Hey,
what's up? Welcome back
to season two. I guess it's just gonna be in the way.
It'll be all right.
All right, guys, welcome back to season two. It looks a little different. We're a little different, I guess.
Yeah, we're a little different. Different environment.
New environment.
Yeah.
Man, it really changes things, but it's good. It's all in the good way. Yeah. So, so excited. So feeling so blessed. For real.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So, okay. It's now.
Live TV.
James, how was your week? How are your weeks? So we've taken a bit of a break because we had to move some things around. It was great. We didn't have to, but we did. Mm-hmm. And so it's been maybe a month.
Yeah, probably about a month.
It's been probably about a month. Anyway, how have your weeks been? How have your 4 or 5 or so weeks been?
Oh, man, this is going to take 2 hours.
Oh, gosh.
Side note, my weeks have been up and down, right? So, we moved, guys, right? So, we came back to a familiar area.
Telling everybody all my business. Tell everybody all my business.
Go. Yeah, just a familiar area that we're both familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're familiar with DC too, but there it is.
There it is. Everybody, here's our address. Ready? Write this down.
So, it was interesting because during the move, it was really uncomfortable. It was
truly uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable. You know, sometimes, guys, when you get comfortable, and I know I talk about uncomfortability, but I've been really uncomfortable this past couple weeks. So moving I don't know anybody. I mean, people are happy to move. We were happy, but it's still a process.
Yeah.
And it's still an uncomfortable process.
Oh my gosh.
But it's kind and it's fair, but it's uncomfortable, right? So if that makes sense. Which we should all live our lives by. Be kind, be fair, but strive for comfortability. So, we get into this space and we like it, and then we start purging. And purging of who you are when you're trying to become somebody else is a different feat than the tone. Not only is it a physical toll, but it's a mental toll.
Yeah.
So, because when you're purging and throwing away stuff, you're looking at your past, and be honest, man, people love to relive the past, and we stay in the past too long because it's comfortable. Right? And so that's what that kind of was. And then, you know, once you're purging, then you're throwing away stuff that you adore sometimes, that you enjoy, and you're moving into a place of uncomfortability. Like, things change.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the neighborhood, whether it's the commute, whether it's waking up, you know, whether it's where the bathroom is located. So, you know, we had to deal with all of that. And then the day of the move was, I'm going to say the week was a little bit.
It's always hectic.
A little bit hectic. It was the week. It's people couldn't come, people canceled, but that's life, right? And you have to, you know, we learned how to pivot, especially when we work together.
Yeah.
We did some pivoting. Like, okay, we'll do this. We'll move this here. We'll do it this day. We'll, you know, schedule this for this. And, you know, that happens, man. You gotta, you know, there's a will of the way. That's the saying is, right? So, and then we finally moved. It was nice, and then we were uncomfortable again because we had to pivot, and then once again, God blesses always, and then we finally, you know, unpacked, and the way we packed, with that. My wife, she's a master organizer and planner, so I'm more so of a doer.
You're a doer.
Yeah, I'm the guy that says, you know, knock down the wall and I'll figure out a way how to get it down. So so after that we unpack and then we start like getting our space together. And you know, we're in a good space right now, and now when you're in a good space, now it's time to even be more uncomfortable than you were before.
Yeah, turn it up.
Yeah, we're trying to turn it up a little bit, not a little bit, but maybe a lot of it, and then see where you're at. But that was how my weeks were. Not going into, you know, just going into pretty good detail, but that's exactly how it went down. It was, you know, there's some tension there sometimes, man. You know, some things you don't really realize what you need until it's gone and you're looking for it, especially when you're in a new space and you're like, oh, I need it, because you're so used to having it. And then you find it and you're like, oh, okay. You know, so this was nice. So how was your couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, it was the same, I guess. Like, it's so funny you bring up these great points, because it's uncomfortable to move from the time you decide to move. Like, it from the time it comes to you that you're going to move, like, everything becomes I don't know, maybe it's not like that for everybody, but everything just becomes stressful, because it's like your life, like, you're living in a place, like, you've settled in a place, and now you have to like uproot everything and move it. So one of my, you know, I'm the planner and the, you know, the packer and the person like this, whatever. I tried to start packing weeks in advance, but it's so interesting because I kept thinking like, well, wait, what are we going to need here? I don't want to pack up everything and need it, you know what I mean, in like 2 weeks, whatever. So then it just took a lot of thought. And, you know, one of the things that was so... It was a couple of things that were challenging, but like I said, moving everything that you live with is just stressful. But then also, the purging was hard for me. Purging is hard for me because, you know, I have all these little things that I like, and some things I'm like, oh, but I'm not using it, but I still want to keep it. You know, I may not have used it in 2 years, but you know, it's still valuable. And that might be true that it's valuable, but do you need to keep it? So, you know, that was something that I had to get through. And just, you know, this is kind of metaphorical, like, as I'm saying it, like, I'm saying it in a very literal way. But like, because they were actual things that I had to like throw away in the trash, but or recycle, but it's also metaphorical, because God, when God tells you to make a move in your life, whether it be a physical like move from one location to the next, or you know, like a mental move, or to do something, it's really interesting, because it's like you could just as easily, sometimes it's easier to just be like, no, I'm good here. Right, we kind of saw that in one of the verses we just read. I think it was in Deuteronomy. But no, we'll stay. Right, like because you get comfortable, you get into your routines and stuff. But it was hard for me to purge, but I did it. It's hard for me to get rid of stuff, but I wasn't using it, and it doesn't serve my future. And that was one of the messages that I got, is like, you don't need this. Like, you got it back in the day because maybe you had a plan for it, but you're not utilizing this to make the moves that you need to make right now. So if you need it again, then you'll encounter another one or whatever it is, right? I mean, and these are small things. It wasn't even like, you know, I'm talking about some real trivial stuff like art supplies and like, you know, like,
yeah. It was, it's not trivial.
Well, it's not trivial to me because I fancy myself an artist. Yeah. And I was just like, you know, it's hard for me to part with things. It's not just that stuff. It's like other things, furniture and, you know, things that have sentimental value. But it's like, it's taking up space. Space that is going to cost you mental space. And you need to, like, get rid of this so you can move on to the next thing, so you can create a space where you can be, you know, thoughtful and creative and, you know, just be obedient. I know that sounds a little weird, but, like, I feel like I was being obedient by getting rid of things because it's like you can't just keep, you know, now I'm speaking figuratively. You can't just keep dragging around the same baggage for years and years and years just because you own it, right? Just because it's yours, just because you've claimed it as, like, your baggage. Like, that's not growing. You gotta get lighter. You know, I think it was Erykah Badu that was like, bag lady, right? Yeah. It was like, bag lady. It's just like, yeah, you can't carry all that stuff around because it's just gonna weigh you down. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just reliving the past. So... That was a long intro, but you know, we have taken a little bit of a break between season one and season two, so we just wanted to bring you up to speed, and everything's on the up and up. We are really blessed. It's so crazy too, because this is another thing that I wanted to say, and then we'll get into the reading. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when God blesses you for what you've been praying for, it can seem like surreal, like is this really happening? Like, did somebody make a mistake? Like, are you sure? Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is what I asked for. This is better than what I asked for, but like, I just wasn't expecting it. And then that's another way that you can be holding on to baggage. It's just like you're not used to something, or you don't think that you deserve it, or something like that, when in reality, well, sure, maybe you don't deserve it, but you asked for it. Ask, you shall receive. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What does it say? Ask, you shall receive. I know it's knock and the door will be open, but I think I missed another part. Ask, you shall receive.
It is three.
It's three of them. Guys, I'm rusty, but you know the deal. Mm-hmm. It'll come back to me later. But yeah, so now we're just excited. We're settling to our new space. We've done our readings. We've been praying and thinking and being grateful and making plans for the future. And so this is where we've been. Hopefully you did miss us, or maybe you didn't. Either way, we're back. So.
Yeah. So. All right, I mean, let's get into it. So, we left off at the end of Deuteronomy, and Deuteronomy, where we left off, it was about the blessings and the curse, right? Either you follow God and be blessed, or don't follow God and be cursed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like any in between.
Yeah.
So that's where we left off at. So right now, we're at Deuteronomy 30, 31. This is once again, choose life or death. God restores the prompt. When he said he's going to take everybody to the promised land, they're finally at the promised land. Joshua will succeed Moses, and Moses predicts the rebellion. Once again, I mean... that's not too far off, right? Yeah. I feel like you wake up one day and you rebel God, and one day you love Him. That's how human nature is. So, that was it. Okay, so the next one. So, this one, the question is, apply Deuteronomy 31:23 to something occurring in your own life.
Deuteronomy 21:33. I gotta go look and see what that is.
No, 31.
Oh, sorry. 31:23. Mm-hmm. By the way, we read four passages. We read Deuteronomy 30 through 34. Then we read Psalm 91. Mm-hmm. And then we read Joshua 1 through 8. Do you want to read? Because I didn't find it yet.
I
Deuteronomy 31:23.
Yeah, and it says, and the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and he said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. Something occurring in your own life.
I remember that from when I do my memory verses. I've written that out before. Let me just take a look at it. Deuteronomy 31:23.
That's very interesting. Something occurring in your own life. So that can go two different ways, guys.
Something occurring in my own life. Yeah, well, I could go. I have one. Do you want to go or do you want me to start?
I could go. It's two ways. So we just moved. Mm-hmm. So that could, you know, be strong, courageous. You know, you shall bring the people. So now it's saying bring people. And, you know, I can venture out and say it's all of us, right? Because mm-hmm. we're a family and a community. So y'all are coming with us on this journey of reading the Bible. So I think that's what I think this is of. We should be strong, courageous by, you know, saying how we feel and how the Bible applies to our life through this podcast. And God will be with us. So that's what that's a short but sweet answer. And, you know, that's what I think.
That's
what occurred.
In this verse, it was right when Moses was giving him he had said the song, and then he had told it to the children of Israel, and then he commissioned Joshua and said, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the sons of Israel to the land. So he's basically passing the baton, saying like, okay, now I'm giving this to you. Be strong and courageous, because you're going to need to take this and go forward without me. Right, I've been in that position before, in jobs, mm-hmm. And in life. I do remember this. I did write this down because it was before I read this passage, like this verse. But like sometimes I'll look up verses based on like something I'm searching for, and this is one of the ones that it came up. And then there's another one which I don't think this is not the one, but it's like, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. That has come up a couple times, because it's like God is saying like, okay, you need to be strong and courageous, because whatever is going to happen mm-hmm. might scare you, mm-hmm. but understand that I'm with you. I'm sending you here. Mm-hmm. So just go. Like, has your mother ever sent you to the store when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Like, go down there. Don't stop at the corner. Go right to the store, get my flour and my sugar, and bring yourself right on back. You know what I mean? Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 or everything. Like, go and do this and come back. And so sometimes you have these times in life where you might be scared or caught up. Like, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if I could do it. So it's like a reminder beforehand, like, you know, you're on a mission. Here's the baton, like, here's the money, or here's mm-hmm. the thing. I need you to go and complete this mission mm-hmm. and do as I said, right? Yeah. So that kind of reminds me of that. Be strong and courageous. Like it's like a call to action. Mm-hmm. Like, listen, you're here to do a thing.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be easy. And what we've learned is when God asks you to do something, he's very direct and specific. Doesn't mince his words or his commands.
Yeah.
And it's going to be strong and courageous. Has to be. You have to have those two attributes, because it's going to be the very opposite of that. It's going to get very difficult. It's going to get very uncomfortable. And you have to, you know, God is going to work, but you have to be strong and have faith in him.
Yeah. As we see in these verses, and also just like, that's been my experience in life too. It's like, you can't always see the other side. You just mm-hmm. have to do whatever it is that God told you to do, and only really you know, right? Mm-hmm. Only really you know within yourself, like, what God has told you to do.
Yeah.
And so that in itself can be scary, because it's like you're trying to figure out, did I hear this? Is this from God? Mm-hmm. Or is this just me? Or is this something mm-hmm. else that's coming up in my mind? Like, am I really supposed to do this? And normally you'll know, because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to stretch you beyond your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, that's how you know. That's, it's like, you know, okay, this is the right thing to do, and it's uncomfortable to do it, but I know I have to just go ahead and go through with it. Be strong and courageous.
Be strong, because it's about to get real.
Okay.
All right. So, Deuteronomy 32-34, it is the song of Moses, and Moses sings a song. I think it's Psalm 91, which is the actual song. And then Moses dies on Mount Nebo. Moses has a blessing to all the tribes, and the death of Moses, and a psalm of protection. So this is where Moses is. He knows it. Like, he knows. So they're right outside the promised land, and he knows that he can't go. Mm-hmm. But he's okay with it. And he knows it's his time. God has already discussed it with him. So he says what he has to say, you know. And he blesses the tribes, but he also says, y'all going to rebel mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
I'm going to warn you. And he goes up to the mountain, and, you know, passes away or passes on. So that, you know, what a great prophet, great man, legendary. So here's the question. How do the blessings of the tribes make you think about how God has blessed or will bless your family?
Okay, so this is specifically talking about, like, in Deuteronomy 33, mm-hmm. Moses went and talked over all the tribes and said, mm-hmm. like, you know, this is your blessing. Mm-hmm. So he told something different to all of them, you know. And Joseph, he said, blessed by the Lord be his land with precious things, having them to do. So he just kind of gave different mm-hmm. sort of blessings over everybody. How does it make me think about how God has blessed or will bless my family? I think that, first of all, God keeps his promises no matter how long you think it takes, right? Or how long it feels to you. And then I think that he just gives all of us a different gift. I think it's like, you know, you have this gift and you have that gift. And if you're all just obedient and looking after one another, then the gifts will serve each other.
Yeah.
It's funny, because we're learning about, like, the importance of being servants if you're seeking abundance, right? You have to serve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't have any problem with that. It's so interesting, though, because you have to serve just like you. It's so important for you to serve just like you are expecting to be served by the society you live in, yeah. right? Like, none of us can really in our present day society really go without being served by someone else in our community or in our society, right? Like, you probably go to the grocery store, right? Somebody picked those vegetables, somebody drove them in, somebody put them out, right? Somebody, like, planted them, yeah. somebody planted them, mm-hmm. you know, everything that you go, you know, even like I had to go to the pharmacy, right? It's like somebody filled that order for me and I needed that, yeah. you know? So it's like, you have to be serving in some capacity too. Anyway, I feel like when we serve in our own capacities, with using our own gifts, it, you know, it makes the world go round, for lack of a better term. Like, you doing what you were called to do, and it's going to be a blessing to everyone. So I think that's the same way, like, in a family. Even more so, because it's so funny how, you know, you can be a sibling or a daughter or a, you know, cousin of somebody and be so different from them, but then you balance each other out because they have a gift and you have a gift, and being around each other, you're growing and you're learning from each other, and you're part of something that is really magnificent by just being yourself. So that's what it made me think of.
The blessings
of the tribes.
Yeah. That's very interesting, because the blessing of the tribes were very, you're right, they're very specific to each tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking here, and some got like two sentences, and then some got a whole
paragraph.
But I think that's how it is in life, right? I think, you know, depending on God's gift that He's given you, are you using it?
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're starting to come to realize is everybody has a gift, and, you know, like, God has a plan for you to follow His will. But here's the thing, everybody has a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it or lose it. It's up to you. But you have to be obedient to God and, you know, follow His will and His gift, which is your passion. And if you follow His will and combine it with your passion, then you'll be blessed beyond your own imagination. Because it says it multiple times, right? Ask and you shall receive. You'll be at that point where you're like, I didn't understand. Well, you asked for this and you're obedient to me, and you're doing your gift, which is my will. So you're doing my gift I gave to you, which is your passion, and you're being obedient to me. Then by the laws and principles that I've created, I will bless you. It's a natural occurrence. If you serve, you will get back. Right?
Reap
what you sow. If you plant it and give it. Right? If I plant corn and the corn grows, and my gift is I can make amazing popcorn, or I'm a chef and I can, you know, deal with corn, and next thing you know, my corn is in all the grocery stores, but I am kind and fair and living by God's will and principles and being obedient to Him. I'm blessed. I'm on commercials. I'm this. And they're like, he has a cornfield. How? It's like, well, mm-hmm. I'm following God's principles. I'm obedient to Him. That's the whole thing about blessings. And Moses said it's either you want to be, you know, it's a gift or it's a curse.
Yeah.
And a curse is if God gives you a gift and you don't use it, which means you don't know what your passion is, or you do, and you do use it. But if you don't use it, you could lose it. Because that's print. Those are, and like, you gotta understand, everything is based on principles of the Bible, right? So, you know, you gotta, you know, use God's gift. And you can't complain, because as you see, every time that you complain, and we're gonna, it's another example of, you know, rebelling against God or complaining or not listening to God, and you find yourself, but you find yourself in a bad situation.
I don't even know what you could say, but that was so funny to me.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
But you find, you know what I'm saying? Like, you find yourself and you're like, how did I get here? And it's like, well,
slippery slope, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, okay, two things. Number one is, I remember the verse. Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
Seek and you shall find.
Yes.
Knock and the door shall be open unto you. So
break it down. Yeah.
It can. No, we didn't just read that in this, but it's something that we all of us have heard before, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because, like, God puts the desires of your heart in your heart. So it's likely that the gift that he wants you to use is a part of that desire that you have.
Yeah.
Right? So, but the scary thing can be like, you know, the need for validation externally and things like that. Yeah. It's just like, oh, well, you know, one of the things, this is so beyond, but it kind of, you know, it kind of is relevant. One of the things that I'm kind of getting over is like the fear of looking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, so what?
Yeah.
I'll look stupid. I mean, yeah. I've looked stupid before.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm okay.
That's big, man.
I'm okay. I mean, the fear of looking stupid. Like, how stupid is that? It's just stupid to even think that because it's like, yeah, you know what? Doing this, whatever it is that I feel God is, you know, that I know that God has called me to do, right, is... If there is the risk that I look stupid, but who cares? I'll look stupid anyway. Like, if I don't do it, I'm still going to do something at some point that I'm going to look stupid. Like, who cares? So, like, I'll look stupid. I'll look stupid trying, and then if it doesn't work out, I'll learn something, and then I'll move on. I won't always look stupid.
Yeah.
But who cares if I look stupid if I'm being obedient? Like, yeah. I'll look stupid.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because it is...
I look stupid anymore.
Yeah.
But I used to, like, I literally have gotten over that.
That is a tough...
I mean, I wouldn't say I gotten over it. I still don't want to look stupid, but I'm not fearful of it anymore.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Because that can... So, that's...
It can trick you out of using your gift.
It can really trick you out of using your gift. And
like, oh, who wants to hear about this? Or, oh, I don't want anybody...
And God's gift, like... God, listen. I gotta hone in on this point. When you start following your God's gift, your passion, the gift he gives you is your passion, right? Because it's what you love and desire. You just have to be obedient. It's going to get very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So what Faith just said, she was like, the fear of looking stupid. That's going to happen, but it's hard to get over that. Or the validation for others. Like, I want to look a certain way or be a certain way, and I want everybody to like me, I want everybody to agree with me, and I want everybody to cheer me on. Listen, that's not what's gonna happen.
I mean, you don't know that. You can't...
Well, I can't say
that.
You
can't speak that.
But everybody has haters. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure.
So you gotta understand that's life. It's two sides. People are going to love you. People are going to hate you. All the time. Even God.
God's never going to hate you. But you can't...
No, but...
You can't let that stop you.
Yes,
right?
But some
the
people
valid,
do.
The need for the validation.
That's
sorry,
what I'm saying. It's all good. But some people do. Some people don't do it because, you know... Or some people... A lot of people, it's the fear. Like, I think I'm going to look stupid. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks stupid.
Yeah.
When they...
You're going to look stupid anyway.
You're going to... Here's the thing. You look stupid when you first drove a car. And you keep driving.
Yeah.
You keep riding a bike.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm a big sports guy. Do you see Tom Brady's picture at the Columbine? He looks stupid. Does he now? No. Keep working on it, right? But this is the whole thing about being obedient to God. You're going to look stupid, but just you got to trust him. And if you trust God and be obedient, you'll overcome it. But it's not easy. And then there's the uncomfortability.
Yeah.
That's when you get to that uncomfortability. And that's when you have to trust. Because you don't have control, guys.
Real talk.
Control is made up.
Yeah, control is... you have control over a limited number of things. But...
Yeah.
You know, you don't have control over the bigger picture.
Nah.
Really, that's God. So you could just do whatever is in your control. Focus on that. And...
Which is... It's not...
I mean, it's not easy.
It's not easy.
And, you know...
Yeah.
So, you know, and we could go all the way
up
with
that.
We could go all
the way.
We could go all day with that.
Man, anyway. Like, we could break down the verse, you know. Not, you know, like, seek and you shall find.
That's not even the verse
that's
we're on,
not,
so we're not going to do that.
You're not going to do that.
But
when we get,
you know,
there.
But yeah, go ahead and comment below if you want to talk about, you know, breaking any of that down, right? Like, we can be in the comments all day about that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have like a
when we get to the verse
discussion.
We
get to the verse,
it's
we definitely
going to bring it down. And we'll definitely be in a different level of comfortability by that time. All right, so Joshua 1 through 4. Joshua is now leading Israel.
Yeah, this is our next book. Yes. I forget how many books we've read so far in the Bible. Let's see. I want to say 5. Maybe this is our 5th one. I have it in our
This little... is the 6th one.
Okay, guys, we're getting along here.
Genesis.
Exodus, I feel like
Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Yep.
So at the end of this, we'll be like a tenth of the way.
Tenth.
Right through the Bible, hey. Almost. Like that's really interesting.
Yeah.
We're getting this done, guys. It's really fun. It's not even like about getting it done. This is the first time we're reading the Bible all the way through, but this is real good. We're getting there. This is, we're making progress. So anyway,
I'm learning a ton.
Me too.
Especially about myself. About
you.
About God.
And as we were, like we said, we moved. As we were moving, we had to skip a couple of our, quite a few of our reading sessions. We had to stop and start back up once we got everything unpacked. And I really felt that. Like, I needed that. Luckily, we had some recollection of, of what some of the stuff we read. And obviously, we just pray a lot.
Yeah.
But it was tough when we finally started reading again after we'd unpacked everything. I just felt a sense of relief. Like, yes, this is, this is what I need to be doing. So I just got to say that because it's real. Like, reading the Bible is so therapeutic. So
and we missed you guys. Like, this is I want to call it a therapy session, but it's a good thing to talk about. Our weekly mishaps and what we learned and how we, how it relates to what we read in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's nothing like it. You know?
Yeah. Facts.
All right. So Joshua 1-4, Joshua's installed as a leader after Moses' death.
I don't think that's supposed to be a typo, wasn't it? Rahab.
Yeah, it's Rahab.
Rahab. They have Rahab in here.
Yeah. Rahab and the spies in Jericho. And the miracle at the crossing of Jordan. So they are now outside of the promised land. Like, they're going to the promised land. The promised land is here. And it's awesome. Oh. Here's one thing I like to highlight. This is what you were saying. Joshua 1, it's 7 and 9. So 7, it says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Mm. So right there is telling them, be strong, courageous, and be obedient to God's law, which is not easy, right? Because we're human, so we have this innate ability to almost not trust God and believe him because we don't trust ourselves. Because when we left our own devices, we do dumb stuff.
Indeed.
And so it's you have to constantly go back, and that's what prayer is about. That's why, especially if you go to church, reading it, the Bible outside of church, listening to us, finding your own way to do it. Maybe you listen to it, when you're at work, or just try, get into it, because it's things in the Bible that, that uplift you, because, and give you strength.
And that will protect you.
Yeah.
Right? Because that verse that you just read, which was Joshua 1:7.
Yeah.
When it says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left so you may prosper, be successful wherever you go. The alternative is horrible. Right? So sometimes we, we all struggle with this. Right? Like, do I listen to what I'm, do I do what I'm supposed to do, or do I do what I want to do?
Yeah.
Right? And it seems really tempting. It is tempting. Mm-hmm. But, like, I just try to remember, and not that I do everything right, but, like, I just try to remember that there's consequences to doing mm-hmm. alternate way of God's instruction, right? Like, you, it might seem like, oh, I'm gonna do this and it's gonna, you know, I'm gonna get what I want, right? But it's like, if God told you to do something and you go against it, like, that's, you're gonna suffer some consequences.
Yeah.
So I try to remember that, even though it's hard.
It's hard, man. I mean, y'all think I'm perfect. I struggle. But if I read the Bible every day and you know, just try to apply it and get better every day, that's all you can ask. Mm-hmm. So what else? Oh, yeah. So they're right outside and they send the Rahab spies. So remember, Joshua was a spy that Moses sent out. And so he was like, okay, we're going to send spies because it works. And so they met Rahab, and she was a
it says she was a prostitute.
She was a prostitute, yeah. So they get to her house, and she believes in God, right? Which, she's from the land of Canaan, and she's not, you know, an Israelite. So she's like, I believe you, God, and you're here to spy to take the land. I will hide you. The soldiers won't find you. So now they're in her house. And you know how this happens today. You know, if you're hiding somebody or something, the word gets out. It does. Like, it's like today, word on the street, right? So she still hid them, and the soldiers couldn't find them. And then she said, listen, you know, I've hid you. When your God comes, please remember me and remember my family. So, then they cross into the Jordan, and what God does is, you know, they're walking with the Ark of the Covenant. And as we know now, the Ark of the Covenant is sacred because it has God's laws in there, all right, the tablets. So there's a river, and God separates it. So the priest can walk across the river, the Jordan River, with the tabernacle. So it's just one of the cool miracles that God does constantly.
One thing I wanted to point out about, because we're going to get into this later, we might not. Yeah. When they went to go see Rahab, and she said, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror and dread of you has fallen on us, that all the inhabitants of the land have melted in despair because of you. Because they heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. Right? So they've heard who these Israelites are, mm-hmm. and the power that they have through God. So they're scared. And later on, we find that, like, the city of Jericho has these walls up, mm-hmm. and people don't go in or come out.
Yeah.
Because they're scared.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself how that kind of plays out today, right? Like, you're mm-hmm. gonna, you know, there's so many things to be afraid of, but you can't really live your life like that and live a full life, yeah. where you're just gonna be scared. Like, you might as well just go follow God, because, like, you're gonna be scared mm-hmm. at some things, but you just knowing that God has you, it's just something that is so freeing.
Yeah.
Right? And so these people already knew. I often wonder, like, how they knew. Like, they didn't obviously have cell phones and stuff, but I guess they would travel. People would travel from city to city.
Yeah, I think it's stories. Like, word of mouth. Yeah, yeah, stories. That's what I think.
Yeah. That was probably, like, the thing back then, is to get together and tell stories.
On a pager.
Oh, my gosh. They had two-way pagers. Anyway.
But actually, that is perfect, because that leads us right into the question, which you just said.
Oh.
Which is awesome. Question. What was amazing about Rahab's insight into God of the Hebrew people? So it's just like what you said, like, she knew who they were because your reputation precedes you. Right? She knew who God was. And the miracles that he had done, because, you know, it looks like the word spread. And, you know, I mean, it's just the glowing thing of saying it's amazing. Like, just like what, you know, my wife Faith said, is she knew that, you know, you parted the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. So that's.
And I gotta think that, you know, it wasn't a common for, you know, especially her. I think she was a Canaanite or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, she was a Canaanite.
So it's funny that, like, you know, everybody around her wasn't necessarily like believers. So for her to be, that's an amazing thing to me, for her to be a believer out of everybody, because then later on we find out that they spared her or whatever. But it's like, for her to be a believer in a room full of non-believers, that had to be something. And she was like a prostitute, so I don't know how the structure of society was back then, but yeah. I don't know if she was like looked down on for that, or, you know, whatever. But she believed in God and she was saved because of it. So I think that's amazing that God had something to do with that, right? Like,
yeah.
Like everybody has a choice whether to follow God or not. And she did, and despite her surroundings.
And it saved her. Like, that's awesome that you notice that. And that's what happens nowadays, right? Where if you're following God and you believe in them, you're kind of an outlier. You know? And
yeah, I guess you're right about that. I mean,
an outlier.
It's kind of like, you're right. I don't feel like some sort of like leper or whatever,
but
I do get this sort of crunch up or whatever, or freeze up when it's time to like say what I think about God's word in front of people who are not, or who have claimed, you know, outright that they're not really like religious or whatever. I mean, like, how many of us are actually religious? Like, I don't know what that really means. But as far as like being a believer, right? Like, but I'll tell you, this was interesting. It does have this sort of like taste or cringe with it, where it's like, oh, you know, you're a believer, and when you're around non-believers or people who have said like they're not religious or they're not necessarily believers, you kind of get this feeling like, oh, well, they don't want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
Right?
Automatic.
And it's not even like a judgment, but it's just sometimes like it's just a word. It's just like a blessing. Like, a lot of times I'll not care, and I'll just say like, I'm praying for you, or, you know, I won't say stuff like that, but it'll just be like, well, God says this, or, you know, this and this and that, right? Like, what I know about the Bible. And I'll just say it, right? Even to people.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that, like, people who have even told me that, like, oh, I don't go to church, or I'm not a believer, or I don't believe in God or whatever, they've actually said to me, like, well, praise God or whatever. And sometimes it's like, you know, maybe they're being funny, but sometimes I know for sure that they're serious, that they're like,
that's true, though.
Praise God, or, oh, God is so good, or whatever. Like, and they're saying it to me
because
they know that, like, oh, Faith's a believer. Like, we know that, right? And they're not saying it in a way where it's like trying to be making fun of me, but it's like they see it and they understand it. So, I mean, as much as it sounds, I hope that didn't sound all choppy or whatever. Like, sometimes, you know, you feel like that in a room full of not necessarily non-believers, but people who aren't really like into the word. Like, you know, it's no judgment or anything. It's just like, but sometimes they're looking to you to be their rock or something, or to show them something that they are not familiar with.
Yeah.
So, and it's not like you have to be that all the time, but sometimes they're watching and they're like, oh, Faith knows, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, James knows.
But that's just be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
And, you know, being uncomfortable, being an outlier, because people do look for you and how you react, because you are a believer in the example you set. You know, examples you said are very important. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. you know, an example that you set in your character, the way you live is very important.
Well, so it's funny you say that, though, because I don't really be thinking about that. And I'm sure that that's important, but I literally be trying to just do the right thing because I don't want to get in trouble with God.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? But so, see, but that leads maybe back. That sets an example, that but an I'm example. Not even thinking about setting an example. Right. I'm just trying to, like, stay blessed.
Right. So, but see that, by doing that, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's, you set an example. No matter if you want to or not, people are always watching. No matter if you're trying to or not, you are. That's what you know.
Yeah,
that's,
I guess so. You know what I'm saying? It's weird because I'd rather not think about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that just adds a layer of pressure.
It does, but be strong and courageous.
Yeah, I get it. Well said.
That's what it is.
Okay, cool. All
right. So now we're at. Oh, Joshua 5-8. They get recircumcised again at Gilgal. The fall of Jericho. A whole family is punished for a father's sin.
Mm.
And we're gonna get.
We got to get into that now.
And the attack on Ai.
I think it's called Ai. It looks like AI. It's spelled AI.
Yeah,
but when we watched
Bible.
The Bible Project, one of the YouTube videos after we read, and they said the guy in there, he pronounced it I. I'm not really sure what the pronunciation of it is, though I do have the Bible Dictionary here. I could look it up. One of the first things in it, I'm sure. Yeah. So go ahead and start.
So the circumcision at Gilgal, that's basically, we all know that you got to be circumcised, but they were in the wilderness.
Were traveling.
Because they were in the wilderness and they were traveling. And then all the men died in the wilderness. So God was like, okay, you got to get circumcised again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because this is, you know, this is my law.
Yeah.
So that's it, you know. So you got to get circumcised again. And...
yeah, it says I. So, like, I was not sure because it says
I.
It, you know, with the long thing over it, it's that, but then it has a little mark, and then it says right here, with the I.
So, I.
I. A-I says I.
I. Okay. So,
place name meaning the ruin in Hebrew.
Yeah.
The biblical city of I may be a tale of two cities rather than one. Okay, then we're not going to read the whole thing, but...
yeah. Cool. Okay. So, that's what they do. And then, the fall of Jericho. Oh, also, this is something interesting, too. So Joshua was in Jericho, then he looked up and saw a soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a man standing before him with his sword drawn. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Neither." He said, "But I am the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I have come." And then Joshua fell on his face and worshiped, you know, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy." So that was an angel, and I think you pointed out earlier where you were like, no, it was the Bible Project. He said neither. So he's not.
Because Joshua's question was very specific. Yeah. It was like, are you for us or are you for them? Like, are you coming for us?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to help us? Or are you helping our enemies, right? Okay, you want me to finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
So basically, I thought that was funny the way it was broken down. Because it's like, and then he said neither. I'm for God. Right? And so what's interesting is, like, we kind of get the foresight here that the Israelites are going to mess up again as they have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So to make the distinction, we're so arrogant as human beings to be like, wait, are you for us or are you for them, as if that's the only two options, right? And we know that the Israelites on a regular basis you know, mess things up, and they're about something that's not about God, right? Like they're either being disobedient or they're complaining. They might be for themselves, they're for their flesh, right? And they're not necessarily, if you're for God, God's about you. Yeah. So if you just seek God and just be obedient, then he's going to bless you,
yeah,
right? But when Joshua said, are you for us or for them? And he said, neither, I'm for God. Mm. It just made me think, like, wow, like, who are you for? Like, are you for yourself or are you for God? So that was like a real good question to me, because it gives some context to, like, what, not even what's about to happen, but the thinking behind. It's because he could have said, yeah, I'm for you because I'm going to help God. I'm going to help you do what God, you know, says. But it's like, you guys aren't for God. You guys aren't for yourselves. So yeah, how could I say I'm for you? Yeah. Right? I'm not for you. I'm for God. Right? Yeah. And like, you get yourself together and you be for God. That's not what he said. Yeah, but the angel of the Lord was, I thought that was interesting the way that panned out. There's something else in 7 that I wanted to talk about too, but we'll get there, I guess. So
yeah,
the circumcision of Gilgal, follow Jericho
yeah, when they, so God was very specific, right? Once again, he's like, I need you to so they on the first day, the 7 priests, and then they bear 7 trumpets, and then they blow the trumpets, and then they follow around with the Ark of the Covenant, walking around the walls of Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 7th day, they walked around, and everybody, all the Israelites screamed. The walls go boom, fall down. Now, very important thing. The Lord says, burn everything.
Yeah.
Right? Except for Rahab.
And her family and her stuff. Right. Go ahead and bring her out.
Go ahead and bring her out. Right? Joshua said, go, she's okay. She's a believer. But we need to burn everything. Everything needs to go. And so all of the Joshua puts a curse on it. All is good. They take the city of Jericho like God promised. Alright, and now 7. Go ahead, what were you about to say, 7?
Well, I think the question has to do with 6, and then we'll get into 7 after that, because 6 is about how Jericho's walls were tightly closed because of the people's fear, mm-hmm, right? And so once they did the ritual that, or I call it a ritual, but like, mm-hmm, once they followed God's command of like circling the city, mm-hmm, 7 times, and then sounding the horns, and then shouting all together, right? Then the walls fell down.
Yeah.
So what's the question? Because
is this important?
Just to conquer Jericho, mm-hmm, Israel had to do some things that must have looked ridiculous to the people watching. Why was this important? Why do you think?
I think it's important to follow God's command, whether... No, it's not about who is looking at you when you're following the Lord. It's about following the Lord because he's going to bless you according to his law. See, we get caught up with reacting to how society and living by society rules, but those aren't the rules we should be living by. And the important thing is, they doesn't matter how you look. Noah looked crazy, and he was the only one there. Moses looked crazy, and he did some miracles. So, you know, it's funny, right? That it might look crazy. This might look crazy. We're talking about Bible, we're talking about God in our own way, but we can't, it might look ridiculous to some people, but it's not about what they think. It's about following and being obedient to God. Because then the walls come down.
Yeah. That was going to be my point. Right? Like, because it's so funny that we just talked about looking stupid. Yeah. Because I think, yeah, they must have looked ridiculous to the people watching, walking around the wall six times. Like, you know, but it's so funny because I did wonder this, whether the inhabitants, like, whether the people of Jericho could see,
they could
see outside the walls. Because it says something about Rahab living inside of a wall. I don't know if her house was within the wall. I don't know.
I think
but
she was.
Here's what's interesting to me. Like, they're sitting in there scared. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, what are they doing out there? They're just marching around, right? Like, I think it's, okay, most in your face, why is it important that they probably look ridiculous to the people watching? Because that's a clear indication to me that God is going to make you look silly.
Yep.
And you got to be okay with that because mm-hmm. it works. Mm-hmm. Right? Because whatever it is that God tells you to do that makes you look ridiculous, mm-hmm. you need to just do it anyway, knowing that people in the Bible looked ridiculous. But when they follow God's command, mm-hmm. it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, as ridiculous as they must have looked walking around, playing their horns, doing whatever mm-hmm. they was doing, at the end of the day, what they did worked. Yep. And they got what God had for them because they were obedient.
Yep.
So I'll look silly and ridiculous in order to be obedient.
Yeah.
And then there's a benefit. You're going to be blessed. So I bet they didn't look silly when the walls came down. And like you brought up Noah, I bet all those people who didn't get on that boat or didn't believe in what he was saying or why he was building the thing,
we can go example.
It's a lot of people who look silly. Who probably were thought to look silly, and that's probably something else. Now let's touch on this.
Yeah.
Because we were recently listening to an audio recording where Earl Nightingale was saying, like, civilization has as far as history is concerned, makes a grim practice of persecuting their inventors, their saviors, their, like, you know what I mean? Like, I hate to get so specific right now, but I gotta say this, right? Like, the whole thing about, like, you know, people have things that come out in the media, like T.D. Jakes, right? Like, oh, there's all this backlash about what he's saying. And it's like, look, man, if what somebody is saying, if they're led to say what they have to say, like, who are we to say, oh, that's not comfortable for me to hear, or that's not right? Like, I'm pretty sure that T.D. Jakes has read the Bible more than a lot of these people out here making comments about what he said. So I would actually just urge us to look at, like, full sentences and understand more about what people are saying rather than being drawn into headlines, because maybe it's uncomfortable to hear certain things, mm-hmm. but maybe there's some truth to it if you just listen or pay attention to what is actually being said. So, yeah, people are going to look and feel ridiculous mm-hmm. when they're being obedient to God. But at the end of the day, were they right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you have brought something up about Martin Luther King, about how, you know, and if you look back in history, it's probably a lot of people who looked really silly. And now in history, we remember them as these great people, these great inventors, these great speakers. Meanwhile, the days that they were living in, they were not reveled like that. Nope. They weren't, you know, they weren't celebrated. They weren't given consideration and respected.
We could probably say the most important person to ever live, Jesus,
yeah,
had the lowest approval rating of all time. Mm. And was probably mocked for spreading God's word.
Yeah, his own brothers mocked him.
And then after he gets crucified, now he's... I think people still constantly mock him. But we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. But anyway, that's just an interesting point. It's like, I think that the people looked ridiculous, mm-hmm. but I think it's important that they look ridiculous because... Yeah. It's an indication to us that we're gonna have to look ridiculous sometimes to be obedient, and that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. I'm okay with that.
It's okay, because at the end of the day,
I'd rather be obedient. Yeah, but I gotta then be it look, obedient. Then to look cool.
Because you're not getting not gonna get judged by society.
Get judged by society.
I mean, no, I'm saying you're not.
Yeah, you're not gonna get judged by society. Yeah. You're gonna get judged by God. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway. Yeah. Okay, so that's the end of that. But let me go into the seventh part. Okay, because we read through eight. Joshua 8. That's what we read through. But in Joshua 7, Achan, I think his name was Achan, stole some stuff. So once they conquered Jericho, they were told like to burn everything down and to take certain things and keep them for God, like with the tabernacle. I think it was like silver and gold and stuff like that.
Silver, gold, and bronze. Yeah, and iron.
So Achan took some stuff that he shouldn't have took, and he hid it, and then that ended up costing him severely. Like they ended up killing him and his family. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I thought something that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Was like, then they went on to take out the next city, which was Ai. Mm-hmm. And when the men went up and spied out Ai, they the people came back and was like, "Don't make all the people go. Just take about 2,000 or 3,000 men and go up attack them, right?" And I thought to myself, like, that's not God's word. That was some man's advice. Like whoever the spies were came back and was like, "Ah, we don't need all our folks. Let's just send up a few thousand and they'll be fine." And that didn't work. And I don't know if it was because I don't think it was because it was man's advice. I think it just kind of happened that way. It was an interesting point because it wasn't God's command. And sometimes we get caught up in like, oh yeah, just do that. That's fine. And it's like, I want to make a point of like seeking God, especially before a battle. Yeah. Right? Like, let's see what God says. But the interesting thing about I was how that ended up where they were run out of there. And it was because Achan, however you say his name, had stole that stuff. So God came back and said, like, look, this is why you didn't win up there. And until this guy comes out and stops lying about what he stole, you're not going to be victorious.
Yeah, so once that happened to Achan, you know, he listen, consequences and repercussions. And we all know God is straightforward. So then they get to Ai, and this happens, and Achan, they find out Achan, and that's getting taken care of. Then he said, okay, look, God said, listen, I got you. All right, took care of what I told you to do. Watch this. So the strategy was they, the city of Ai, knows there's Elijah coming because they came and they defeated him. So he was like, Josh, you go confront them, bring them out. So what Joshua did is Joshua had 30,000 men on the backside of Ai. Joshua and a couple thousand men bring them out. And they're like, we've defeated them before. We could definitely defeat them now. Something to that, guys. You gotta be careful the second time around, right? And so Joshua brings them out, and everybody from Ai goes out to the city because they know that they can beat Joshua and the Israelites again. They know it. And Joshua looks defeated, and they leave one person, and the other 30,000 Israelites come and take over the city. By the time Ai realizes it and look back, they're surrounded by Israelites. Their city is gone.
Burning.
Can you imagine? You just look back and like, oh, the city's on fire. And that's crazy.
And there's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go because up front, now Joshua's not beaten. And then they're looking at the back like, oh.
There's more of it.
There's more.
I thought that was so interesting that they had that strategy, because I feel like God put that into place and made a way out of no way. Like, I feel like if they hadn't defeated them before, then the people of Ai may not have acted like that. Like, it seemed like they saw the Israelites coming, and they were like, oh, come on, let's go. And then everybody leaves out of the city. Like, yeah. Not one person was like, I'm going to stay back here in case somebody tries. Yeah. Not one person. They just all were so confident to be like, oh, we got them. And it was only because God had let the Israelites get defeated before. Yeah. So, like, God used that to the advantage of the Israelites, right? It seemed like it was bad that they got defeated, but then he used that to the advantage. So it's like, oh, now they're so sure that they're going to beat you guys. They're going to all come out. And now the other Israelites were able to go take the city, burn it down, right? So I just thought that was so, I mean, magnificent. And I got to get specific here just with my own situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, like, when I get a direct, so I guess people call them downloads, mm-hmm. but like I get them out of sleep a lot of times. I know you've said you've gotten them out of the shower, right? Where it's just like you're getting an information like, oh, I need to do this and this and that.
That's why I take a long shower.
So
downloaded from God.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah,
he
told me to do it.
Oh gosh, God told you to take long showers. That's fine. Well, listen, we got plenty of hot water. So do you? So I get them out of sleep a lot. So I'll wake up in the morning, and a lot of times I'll have to get out of bed just so I can write down some of the stuff that's in my mind. Like, oh, this is how to solve that problem. Yeah. Or I'm going to try this. So funnily enough, I a lot of times will question myself, especially after I've woken all the way up, or when it's time to go and do the thing that I wrote down. I'm like, oh, is this from God, or is this just something that's going to make me look stupid? Mm. Right? And, I'm starting to recognize that it is from God, because it's very specific and strategic. Mm-hmm. It's like something I could have never come up with on my own. And like, and in fact, I didn't, because maybe if I wasn't asleep, I would have never, you know, came up with it. Maybe all of the hours that I sit there during my waking hours trying to think of how to solve certain problems. And then as soon as I'm ready to wake up from sleep, I have like 50 answers that I can't even write them all down. Like, oh, do this and this and this and that. Yeah. It's just like, that's definitely God. So it's so funny to me that I feel like that's something that might happen to other people. Like, when God gives you a strategy, like, so specific, and it's like, you gotta try this, if you pray for it, and you get an answer like that, and it's so specific, I feel like that's probably from God anyway. I don't know why I said that.
I like that, yeah.
But yeah, guys, so
that's eight.
We're so excited. We read, and then so next week we're gonna read Joshua 9 through, wait, 4, right? Mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4. Joshua 9 through 21.
Yeah.
So if you want to read along with us, jump right in. We're at Joshua 9 through 21.
Yep.
We have like 20-something episodes. If you're just tuning in and finding us, mm-hmm. please go back and follow us on all the platforms.
All of them.
We've just joined Fanbase. And we've joined, we've already been on most of the other platforms, TikTok, IG, Instagram, Facebook, yada, yada, right?
Yep.
We're thinking about signing up for Twitch.
Maybe.
We'll see. I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have some shout outs of mine this week, but do you want to go ahead and start? Or do you want me to start?
Shout outs
or mentions? I could go if you don't have
to. Yeah, because I was going to say one of the boring ones at all.
I was good. Okay, yeah, you can say those so definitely shout out to Mr. Meter Joe. We definitely got to shout her out. Shout out to ReTV. They are Relationship Entertainment TV. Mm-hmm. They're doing some amazing things over there. If you have not heard about them, please go and check them out. Please go check out Mr. Meter Joe. Those two sisters will be starting out for our season 2 in the next couple of weeks. Tune so make sure you look out for that again. It is not rated PG, so
it'd be all right, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're adults, two sisters talking 90s, real, you know, topics. I have to give a shout out. Actually, I have to give two posthumous shout outs. Like, I guess that's what you say, posthumous.
Yeah.
I have to give a shout out to two people who I've been enjoying and listening to the work of, and they have passed away. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed and am learning a great deal from these two people. First one was Earl Nightingale. I've been listening to him for years, like on and off, but recently I've really gone in search of some stuff, like after I've listened to certain things, and then some things will just come up, you know, because you've listened to it. But there's so much wisdom there, and it's so interesting to listen to him specifically, knowing how long ago he was broadcasting, and some of the stuff that he's saying is still true present day. It's so funny to hear like him say certain things and think like he's not even around, how could he know that, right? But it's like the truth is the truth, and it's still the truth. Earl Nightingale, shout out to you, Earl Nightingale, if you're in heaven. And
go ahead and say it.
Jim Rohn. So a lot of people probably know who Jim Rohn is. I'm enjoying him. I'm enjoying his teachings. I'm enjoying his personality. Yeah. He is passed away, but I think he passed away in like 2009. It's so interesting because I kind of started thinking about like, what was I doing in 2009 or before then, and I wasn't listening to him. But, you know, I am enjoying it a great deal, listening again to things that are the truth, that have been the truth for several decades, that he's teaching about. And like even now, present day, specifically with the stuff that Jim Rohn says, some of the stuff I feel is probably even more true today than it was back then, even though I mean I was only I was young in the 80s when some of this stuff was being taught. But I just have to give a shout out to those two people, their families perhaps, and you know, just to share with you guys that maybe there's something that you would enjoy if you could just search or Google Jim Rohn or Earl Nightingale and listen to some of the things. You know, if something pops up on YouTube or something pops up in your feed that has to do with one of them, or if you come across one of their books, we have a few of their books, so you might be interested enough to just read a little or listen to a little, and it might really have a great impact on you, because the truth is the truth. And both of these people speak about the Bible. I believe they were both believers. That's what my belief is. I haven't done an extensive amount of research, but they speak about the Bible a lot. So I would imagine that they were both believers. But, you know, those are my shout outs this week, or mentions, or whatever you want to say.
All right. Well, I'm good. So, once again, guys, thank you.
Wait, you're not going to shout out?
Yeah. Oh, shout out.
Sorry.
Shout out fourth quarter.
Yes. Shout out fourth quarter.
I have another podcast coming up, and it's going to be really good. I'll let y'all know when that is on and running. So don't worry about it. You'll hear about it. You know. So that's it. That'll be my shout out. So.
Yeah, I thought you were going to mention someone else, but okay. Oh, never mind. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
I'll shout out
next
week.
Who else have you been listening to?
Oh, Jim Rohn. Earl Nightingale. Oh, Myron Golden.
Well, always shout out to Myron Golden. Myron Golden is a wonderful person. And I'm so grateful to I can't wait to meet you, Myron Golden. Neither one of us can wait to meet you.
Yeah,
just
I got
to
you.
Thank you in person for everything that you're doing.
Napoleon Hill, who I've been
that person. There's also
and
a person
Jim,
that you've been watching.
Joe Dispenza.
Yes.
I've been listening to them.
Joe Dispenza. Shout out to Joe Dispenza. Thank you for your work also, sir.
He's more concentrated on the science of how your mind works and how you can change your thinking habits to be a better aligned for your goals and who you want to be. And
for your health.
And for your health, yeah.
Yeah.
And Napoleon Hill is like Jim Rohn and Earl Nightingale. He talks about the Bible a lot and the principles in the Bible. For instance, I was listening to him. He was like, you got to listen to your creator. He's talking about God. And I think back then as well, is why we think they're believers is because I think back then it was controversial to say you were a believer like it is now. So up. I do. I really believe that. I think throughout history, people, you know, don't shy away from it, but mention it their way. And if you believe and you hear certain things that they say, then you're like, okay, just 90%. You know, because he talks about the Bible a lot, and he says creator. They say saviors. You know, he's like Earl Nightingale said, saviors get crucified. That's specifically Bible.
Yeah, it's definitely related to the Bible.
Yeah, that's all. A shout out to, you know, those guys. That's it.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Yes. Make sure you find us on all the platforms. Mm-hmm. And we can't wait to see you in our next episode.
Yeah.
Of Is It Crazy or Is It God?
Is it crazy or is it God? Oh, don't forget. Don't take our word for it.
Go to the source.
Read the Bible.
Read your Bible.
All right, guys.
Okay, bye.
Peace.